Welcome to the Mostly Pala Night. Mostly, I am Graveyard, joined by my co-host Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 110 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. What happens when a passion project is nothing more than a colorized version of the same movie? Or when the studio throws an original classic to the wolves for a quick cash grab? Tonight we dive into three examples of movies that were not needed, nor asked for, and critically panned by all. That's right, we are doing unnecessary remakes for this episode, and we'll do things a little bit differently just because, you know, two of these movies on this list, The Fog from 2005 and Flatliners, we covered the original movies on past episodes, and Psycho, we will be doing a more in-depth analysis of the four-part series with Anthony Perkins, but we're just diving into the Vince Vaughn-led one from 1998. So we'll be discussing really the subtle differences, or not so subtle differences, in these movies, instead of like a full-on recap, because honestly, they're not worth it. You know? So so let's start with Psycho from 1998. Let's start with you, Salem. Some of the differences, really, between this movie and the 1960 version.
I mean, this is a hard movie to get through, honestly.
Yes.
It is. I mean, the original Psycho was like one of the very, very first horror movies I ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of sort of light on the horror aspect, is more like the mystery aspect, but still considered horror.
Yeah, it's considered like the first slasher for a lot of people.
Right, right. And the when I first watched it, I don't know, I was like 8 or 9. I was very, very young. And it was like we were talking about some movie, and my uncle was like, "Oh, you think that's a good horror movie? I'll make you watch the best horror movie ever." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Like me and my little cousin were like, "Oh, okay." And so he put on Psycho, and I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. And the funny part was, is when we went home, my mom, you know, cause she liked it too. She's like, okay, let's go rent the sequels. And so I've seen them. I honestly do not remember them at all. I know that they're terrible, that I've been told they're terrible, but I mean, I watched them when I was fucking 8.
Yeah.
I have like no memory of them. So it'll be interesting to rewatch them. I know that I have at some point in time, but I don't remember anything.
Yeah. It took 24 years for Psycho 2 to come out after Psycho.
Right. But I mean, it still is Anthony Perkins though. So I mean,
through all four of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I ever watched the fourth one. I know I watched 2 and 3. Maybe I did. I honestly don't. I guess it would depend on what year it came out.
1990.
It would be a stretch. Maybe though. That was still in the era of renting VHS tapes. So maybe.
Yep.
Anyway, so Psycho. So this movie is, it's hard to get through. If you've seen the original a lot, like I have, if you like, you know, because it's a very classic. I mean, extreme classic movie, right? It's like one of the classic movies. It's like you look at like everybody's top 10 of all time list, and Psycho pops up a lot on those lists, right?
Oh, easily.
Not horror people. We're talking all time film. I mean, it's a fantastic film. It's Hitchcock's probably crowning achievement. His you know, like. Again, his
the Birds, Rear Window,
it's best film. But anyway, so it's hard watching it because it's a shot for shot remake, and I think the reason why they don't do that is because of this movie. It was really the first time they tried it, and it was not good. I mean, if you're gonna remake it, you know, try to put a twist on it, try to make it interesting, try to modernize it, whatever. And they didn't even do that. It's very bizarre. Anyway, so what I did to try to get through it is I would watch Psycho until like literally my brain would start melting and I had to stop. And then I would go watch the original up to that point to like reinvigorate my brain. And that's what I did. Like through it, I had to stop and start probably 4 or 5 times. You know, watching this one, and then I was like, pause, go back to the original. Okay, you know, and then watch like, because it's interesting enough, I was going to spoil it right here, is like everything about this version is worse than the original.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everything. I mean, literally everything. I mean, some of it's not bad, But again, it's all worse. It's all at least one step down from the original. It's baffling to me how this even got made. Differences? Sure, we could talk about differences. Are there real differences? Not really. I mean, there's...
It's in color.
I mean, yeah, it's in color, obviously. There is some shown knife wounds in the shower, which was not there before.
Mm-hmm.
It's slightly more bloody and violent, I guess. Not, I mean, the original, there was enough there to give you the gist of what was happening. But, like, this one actually gives you, like, a little bit more. Like I said, you see knife wounds in her back when she falls over the bathtub. They made Viggo Mortensen a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
Because he was a cowboy in Leatherface.
Like, there's the original guy was just a dude. He was just a 1960 dude. And then this version, he's a cowboy. Okay. I mean, there's a bunch of little tiny differences. Like, you know, her sister, played by Julianne Moore, like, wears a Walkman, right?
Yes.
In the one scene where Anthony Perkins knocks out Viggo the cowboy, he uses a golf club instead of a vase.
Right.
And it's very, very little changes. I mean, like, the basement, instead of being just like a cellar with like boxes in a corner, it's like like a taxidermy lab. But like, the shots are still the same. It's just some of the backgrounds are different. And other than that, it is pretty much exactly the same. I mean, there's really not much else.
And butts.
Oh, yeah, I guess. that's it. There's nothing else. I mean, the acting of every single character is worse than the original. Easily. I mean, I can tell that a lot of times they probably could have gotten better performances if they let them do it their own way. But they specifically made them say it the exact same way. You know what I mean? Like the exact same words. Like they do put different inflections and kind of say them differently. And I would say watching them side by side, in every case, it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single case. I think the only one that might be borderline is the William H. Macy, like a private detective character. Like, I think he does a really good job with it, but I still don't think it's better than the original. I think it's just kind of on par. It's on the same level. Every single other character, it's worse. And it's sad to say for, like, Julianne Moore. Like, I love Julianne Moore. She's just not good in this movie.
Right. I would absolutely agree. I mean, was this your first time even watching this version?
This version, yes. Because, I love the original. I rewatched the original fairly often. I have no desire to ever watch a remake of it. It's one of those movies that's still a classic. People still fucking talk about
it. 64 years later.
Right. Yeah. It's 64 years old. Like you say, Norman Bates, everybody fucking knows who that is.
Yes.
Like still, I mean, like my siblings who are like Gen Z know who fucking Norman Bates is. I mean, it's still a thing that's part of culture. That, mm-hmm. I mean, you would have to be very, very outside of like trying hard not to like watch mainstream stuff to not know who Norman Bates is.
Oh, for sure.
So why you would remake this film is so beyond me. I don't understand. Because Gus Van Sant was the guy who directed it, and I guess it was kind of his idea to do this, or at least the studio pitched it to him and he took it because it was like one of his favorite movies ever.
Right. And with Fitz Vaughn also loves Psycho.
Right.
He wanted to do it. So it was almost like a passion project of theirs.
Right. I really think that Gus Van Sant took that so that no one else would make a shitty version of it. And I think he purposely made it worse than the original so that no one would ever do it again. And that's what I really think it is. I think he was trying to preserve the original by intentionally tanking this. You know, maybe not like tank, but like intentionally making it one step under the original to make sure it didn't outshine it. Is really what I think. I think that's why he did the shot for shot. So you can see that no matter how you do it, it's still going to be inferior to the original. That's just my conspiracy theory, I guess. But
I mean, this almost ruins the up and comer Vince Vaughn's career.
Right. I mean, again, Vince Vaughn. We'll get into it, I guess. But Vince Vaughn is good as a comedic actor. Yes. I mean, you know, again, I'm not talking like Oscar winning comedic actor. No, I'm talking like if you need somebody to do like a goofy, dumb comedy, he's your guy.
Your average guy.
Right. Like Dodgeball.
Yes.
Great movie. Right. I mean, yeah. You know, like old school. Was it a great movie? No. Was it funny? Sure. You know, I mean, there's Swingers. Like, I think that was the first thing I ever saw him in. That movie was great. And it's like, that's the kind of characters that he's good at playing. And whatever they try to make him play a serious character, he can't do it right. Like, a lot of people think that's what happened with True Detective Season 2, was that he just couldn't sell the character.
Mm.
You know, that's one of the... I mean, again, there's a lot of things wrong with Season 2. I'm not saying it was only him. There's a lot of things wrong with it. But, you know, it's again, that was another serious role that he tried to play that he did not do well in. It's every time he tries to play a serious role, I just don't think he's good at it. I think he's good at the comedy thing, but he feels like he's bored doing comedy. And he wants to do other things. I can respect that, but I'm saying if you're not good at it, just stop.
Yeah.
You're taking roles away from people I think that could do it much better.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Yeah, seeing Anthony Perkins and him act side by side, it's like, it's not even close. Not even close.
Oh, none of them. Anne Hash wasn't good as Marion.
Well, no, Anne Hesh she's terrible. I was never a fan of Anne Hesh. I mean, I know that she's gone, you know. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but she was, she's not good. I don't think there's anything that I ever liked her.
No.
I can't think of any movie that I enjoy that she was in. She's just not my favorite. But again, and that's like your main two. I understand that she's gone like halfway through the film, but she still sells the movie, right? That's people remember the first half of Psycho. They don't, you know, the second half is something you have to be reminded of, right?
The procedural murder, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's but the first half is what sells it, and she is the first half, and it's like her and Vince Vaughn, the two worst actors in this film. And it's again, it's hard to get through.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get through.
I had a difficult time, but all that being said, we'll still do our highlights and low points. Do you want to go first with your highlights if you haven't?
I do. I try to find at least three for everything. It's sometimes I got to stretch, but I was able to get through it. So the cast, I think some of them did a decent job, right? Like Viggo Mortensen did a passable job, right? You know, pretty much on par with the original. I don't know why he was a cowboy, but great. James Remar. I mean, yeah, he wasn't in it for that long, but he played his character great. You know, the cop with his, you know, ever-present sunglasses, exactly what he was supposed to do. James LaGrosse as the car salesman guy, right?
Yep.
Great. Tiny little role, but he sold it. It was great. And then William H. Macy, again, I think is probably the best actor in this version, just not saying much. But I thought he did a great job. That's it. Those are the only ones I thought did well. I did appreciate the added violence and blood. I understand that when it was made in 1960, you couldn't really do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like it was like, again, like this movie was like controversial because it showed a flushing toilet.
First movie to do it.
Right. So like blood and murder was like what they put in was controversial enough. They couldn't go any further. So I appreciate them going a little bit further because modern audiences can handle that. That was interesting. The creepy basement I thought was a good, you know, thing. Instead of having just a dirt floored, you know, fruit cellar, it was like an actual like taxidermy serial killer, you know, lair, which I thought was pretty interesting. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with you with the cast that you listed off. Plus the addition of Flea.
Flea was had like a line.
He wasn't bad in his one line, okay?
That's correct. He was not.
I also agree. Kind of like the, you know, with it being a shot for shot, the kind of modernist take that they did do with it, like I said, the knife wounds, You know, obviously the shower scene is they had the same exact scenes, but they added a couple little extra details, right? You know, you almost see her naked. Not that you want to, but you almost do, which is implied, you know, because essentially it showed us what we all filled into our head with the stab wounds is everyone, oh, not everyone, a lot of people can swear they saw the knife going into Marion in the original one, but we never do. It just
it touches her belly.
Yeah.
Like it's like pressed up against her stomach. And they did that same shot in the remake.
Yeah.
It's just like it's pushed up against her belly and that's it. It doesn't actually enter.
Right.
It is pushing against her skin, yes.
But I'm saying like it filled in a little bit more that we filled in, you know, watching the original one because everyone swears they could see it happen, which, you know, shows to the greatness of Hitchcock to be able to instill that into our minds.
Right. Right. I thought one thing that I thought was interesting was an article I read was that he tried to do a literal shot for shot remake, like no changes at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the changes that he did make were because he couldn't figure out how Hitchcock shot it.
Right.
Like he literally could not physically understand how he shot it because it didn't make sense to him. He could not get things to line up the same way.
Yeah.
So that's why when there's little changes in like angle or, you know, view or whatever, that's because he couldn't figure out how to do it the way that it was originally.
Yeah.
And Gus Van Sant is not, I mean, he's a good filmmaker. Like he knows what he's doing. That's what's the interesting thing.
Right. And you know, even though it was a remix, essentially a remaster of the original score is Danny Elfman.
Yes. And
I think he paid fantastic homage to the original composer.
Well, I think it's just modern recording equipment. Yeah. In like 1960, they weren't really, you know, playing with the high technology that we have now, but no, he did a great job.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if it didn't say that he did it, I would assume it was original music, quite honestly.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's the exact same music. It's just replayed, like, yeah, in a modern, so you can actually hear it better.
But I like that they kept that. You know what I mean?
They even kept the opening credits.
Yes.
Like, everything is exactly the same.
The music's at the same exact points.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think that was done well enough that it wasn't just like, oh, okay, here's the heavy tuba for Danny Elfman. He just kind of like Tim Burton it up, right, for him. And he did. He kept true to the original. And I like that. That's all I have for highlights. I'll go into my low points. Obviously, it's a remake, a poorly done remake. I also don't like that, you know, they could have get, okay, this is a new Psycho. You know, the last Psycho only came out 8 years previous to this. So it's still in kind of people's minds. And, you know, 30, 40 years later, that it's still there, right? But it didn't add anything to the lore in the slightest. They could have easily just made, you know, Vince Vaughn the new Norman Bates and just made it Psycho 5. And we've been okay with it. If they did something different, my guess is more so than this movie.
Nice. I think that's my conspiracy theory of Gus Van Sant doing it on purpose to make sure it wasn't as good as that. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Overall, this movie's quite forgettable because there's no need to watch it. Zero.
Yeah. It's like, take like a great play, like an award-winning play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine that all of the star cast got sick. And then like the second string people, not one, all of the second string people now have to do the performance that the award winning people can't do because they're sick.
Right.
That's what this film is. It's like, sure, it's the same thing, but it ain't nowhere near as good.
Right. And quite honestly, like when, you know, William H. Macy is supposed to be going down the stairs after getting stabbed, right? Hitchcock did it better, hands down. The way he shot that scene in the original, right, it looked better than this with modern technology at that point in time, showing that Hitchcock is a true visionary with the camera to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially for the time period he was in, he was a legend.
Yeah. So
an asshole to some, definitely, but a legend for sure.
Right, but like I said, the way he shot things changed movies, and yeah, obviously Gus could not replicate it in the slightest. So that's just unfortunate to me. That's what I got. What about you?
I'll call out Anne Heche and Vince Vaughn for just terrible acting. The first half of this film is hard to get through. The second half is also hard to get through, but it's not as hard as the first half. It's just not good. I think the actual noise and actions of him masturbating, watching her through the door was a little much. I don't think you needed that. I mean, we know he's a creep, right? We know he's fucking crazy. They don't need that. You know, why do you add that? That's not needed. Again, just why? Why would you do a shot for shot? I mean, no one ever does that. I mean, I guess this is the reason why, but
right.
It just blows my mind. Why would you do that? Especially that everyone knows that movie. It's you're going to be judged by everyone on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I did appreciate the knife wounds on her back, but they were CGI and they were not done very well. Probably because it's really the only CGI shot in the film. They probably did it for the lowest bidder.
Right.
But yeah, it's that again, just the poor performance from the main cast. That's the first half of the film is just, you can't sell it. People are done halfway through the film, all the time. And the original is just too classic to remake. And I will also, most of the time, I don't give a shit about wardrobe. I could fucking care less as long as it's close. I get upset when it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic or a war zone or something like that. And somebody shows up wearing clothes that look like they just took it off a shelf, that kind of stuff annoys me. I don't know if you remember that show Revolution.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into that show because everybody was so clean. They looked like they just came out of Aeropostale, whatever the hell that store is, brand new fucking clothes. I'm supposedly you've been living in a electricity-less world for decades and somehow you have brand new mass-produced clothing. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's
real. What?
Yeah, I couldn't watch that show because of that. But this movie, I feel it's color now. We have to amp it up. So everybody's wearing these garish, over-the-top, super bright colors. Even Norman is. It's what are you doing? it's just bizarre. But not only is it the colors and stuff, but Julianne Moore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful woman, right?
Yep.
The second half of that film, she is wearing, I think, the worst clothes I've ever seen her wear. She's wearing these weird pants that are too big for her, that are folding strangely. And then the boots that she's wearing are way too tall. So again, it just looks like she's wearing three different pairs of pants over them. It's so bizarre. And the shirt that she's wearing doesn't fit her, right? It looks like she's just wearing a dude's shirt that she bought too small, but also too big at the same time. It's bizarre. Again, I don't know who the wardrobe person was for this film, but they failed. Colors are bad. The fit was bad. Everything terrible. Again, a wardrobe is not something that I normally give a shit about. So it really had to be bad if I'm calling it out.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. It's all good.
All right. So our olives this week are shot for shot scenes out of 10. So Salem, how many shot for shot scenes out of 10 do you give this movie?
I don't know. I don't know if I can go low enough. I don't know what my lowest rating for other things was. I don't care, but I'm going to go, a 0.21.
0.21.
0.21. There's no point to this at all. And it angers me that it exists.
I think the lowest we ever gave anything was a 0.1. So I'm just throwing it out there. I agree. Grant, this was a feat to make the movie. Making movies is hard. Now, that being said, this movie is the epitome of our catchphrase that we have for the show. I would never suggest watching this movie ever to anyone.
Watch the original. I mean, if you want more of the original, watch it again. I mean, there's no reason to ever watch this.
Yeah, I will give this 0.5 shot scenes out of 10. It's really because of Danny Elfman, let's face it. He did the assignment right. All right, so next up on our
remake. Okay, let me preface this one with saying the 2005 The Fog currently holds a whopping 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like 4%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we're getting into.
I paid good money to see this in 2005.
This movie made me fucking angry.
Yes.
Like, very angry. The next one just made me confused. Like,
we'll get into that.
I'm like, what? But like, this one, I was literally fucking angry. They Mary Sued this movie, and I got so pissed off.
Yeah. So, you know, 25 years later, so, you know, of John Carpenter's original Fog, you know, obviously a lot of changes. This is not in California. It's not a coastal town. It's an island in Oregon. Okay, whatever, right? And it's still a colony of lepers that the townspeople burn. Now, instead of being on the, you know, 100-year anniversary, they said it's still some anniversary. But, like, you look at the dates on there, it's like 1867, like 1871, this town sprung up. And this is 2005. So, I guess you're celebrating the 134 years? Or 234 years? I don't know. I don't care.
I was confused as to what the timing of this, like, why is it happening now? Mm-hmm. And I think what they're trying to say is the anchor that gets caught on the bag in the beginning, I think they're trying to say that that is what caused it.
It is.
That's because exactly those things then washed up on the beach, and then that's how it started.
Right. So they tried to not quite realistically not have a main character in this damn movie. You think it's Tom Welling, and it's not. It becomes Maggie Gray.
No, oh no, they did. They totally did.
Yeah.
I mean, no, the beginning of it is just the intro, but once we get into the film, they literally combined all the parts and gave all the interesting scenes to one character.
Yes. So Maggie Grace's character is Jamie Lee Curtis, except she's actually from there. Her parents are from there. She's dating Tom Wellington. It was only gone for 6 months. Also, she has the exposition dump of the drunk priest.
She finds a book in a wall of a boathouse.
Yes.
Like, why did it move? One, and two, why the fuck is she finding it?
Yeah. And the ghosts, they're coming back. For the most part, it's just fog for 80% of the movie. There's no ghosts in the fog for a very long time. Right. They're not killing 7 people to get back. They're killing everyone.
Right. Yeah, like, they don't, again, they're not following any kind of rules like they were in the first one. It's just
correct.
And the fog itself is killing things, which I thought was dumb as fuck.
The fog is magic, and we'll get into that fog, don't worry. You know, and yeah, it's kind of a more modern take. Instead of finding a piece of the boat, it's now, you know, on Selma Blair's, you know, computer screen. You know, Selma Blair's character is the Adriana Barbeau's character, who happens to know the weatherman and what he looks like, to the point they even have a, you know, a Skype call, essentially.
You mean the advertisement for the Sony Vaio?
Yes, that thing. Yeah. You like my present? And she's like talking to him, like, oh, you're not even 6 feet tall. So that dynamic's completely thrown out. You know,
how can you tell how tall someone is when they're sitting down?
I don't know. And it's just, yeah, like I said, the ghost is literally just killing everyone. It doesn't end when they kill all 7 people to get revenge. There's no giant golden cross. Like I said, the priest pretty much does nothing except die. And how's this movie end? And how's the curse lifted? By being kissed by a ghost. Maggie Grace's character. Dude, turns
into a fucking ghost. I don't know what was happening. I don't think anyone knows what was happening. What was happening? I was so fucking lost.
Yeah. So this is what a lot of people got pissed off. They're like, oh, now she's a ghost. Why? She's a descendant of someone and looks like the ghost captain's wife.
She walked up to them, got kissed by the dude, and then like became her earlier incarnation.
Yep. And leaves. Everyone leaves.
Right. So like, okay, was she a ghost? Bond. Was she a ghost the whole time?
Yeah. No. But like the revenge plot isn't like I'm killing everyone that took or that burned us alive. It's I found my bride. Everyone else come with me. We're cool. Good.
Right. Like, dude, like the whole fucking ending, it stopped making sense.
Yes.
Like it was making its own level of sense until they got to City Hall.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, then it was like the ghosts completely ignored all the people that were the descendants of the people that burned them alive.
Right, because they said, oh, Castle, Hank, all the four families, right?
Right, and they were chasing the guy that wasn't related to them at all.
Yeah, because he's from Chicago.
Well, no, they weren't chasing Spooner, they were chasing the mayor guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who was only married to the woman who's the descendant.
Yes.
So, like, he's not blood related. Why they left all the people that are blood related to the people that murdered them, they left them in the city hall, which was undefended at that point. And they started chasing the mayor, who they have no relation to at all.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then they all watch the mayor guy get murdered. And then she just like walks up and kisses the dude and then becomes a ghost.
For no reason.
For absolutely no reason at all. And like, why does she look exactly like his wife that was murdered?
Right. It's not that his wife made off the leper colony and went to land and then had a family. No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be okay if, like, you know, because sometimes people play like their descendants, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when they do flashbacks, they look exactly the same, whatever. You know, that's movie magic bullshit. And all, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But how do you have someone that looks exactly the same as a leper's wife, who's also a leper, right? That they didn't have any children or anything. How does she look exactly like them when she was born and raised by the descendants of the people that burned them?
Right.
It makes absolutely no sense. This movie is fucking baffling. I don't know if there was some other rewrite that happened that they missed stuff, but like this ending is not for this film. It is a ending for a different movie altogether. This doesn't make sense in this film at all.
Right.
Especially if you know the original. But even if you don't, just going by the storyline that they made in this film, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. Yeah. It's atrocious. So I'm glad it's not a shot for shot remake, but even within its own context, as you said, it makes zero fucking sense.
Right.
Zero. So I mean, like I said, I saw this in theaters in 2005. I was pissed off then. I haven't watched it since then. I was so mad at this movie. And rewatching it almost 20 years later, I'm still pissed off at this movie.
Right.
Especially because the OG one is so good at what it is.
Right. It's a fun little horror movie. You know what I mean? It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's interesting. I think it's the most interesting thing about it is like there's all these kind of like smaller things happening that lead up to the whole.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all these separate stories happening. They're doing their own separate things. And sometimes they meet up at the end and sometimes they don't. But they were all necessary to tell the story. And that was the fun part of it. This is like bullshit. They like somebody was like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Let's just take this one character and give them all the storylines.
Yep.
What? Why? and then make her into a fucking ghost at the end. Like nothing makes sense in this.
Correct. Now you saw this before, right?
No.
Oh, this is your first time?
Yeah. No, I don't bother watching remake. If I really like the original, there's no reason for me to ever watch a remake.
Yeah.
Unless people say it's actually good. Which is, as you know, extremely rare. Like, when people tell me it's actually good, I'll watch it. If it's a movie that is like classic to me, I won't. Mm-hmm. I won't bother. Like these three, I haven't seen any of them because, again, I love the original of all these three. So why would I ever watch the remake? I've only heard people complain about it. I've never heard anything good about any of these three movies.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've seen all of these now twice because of this episode. So, do you want me to start with my highlights of this movie, though?
Sure.
For what it is. I mean, I like that they have some of the same story beats that are there. Like I said, they just condensed the cast down to Maggie Grace for, like, half the cast. but I, like I said, there are good homages to it. Now, instead of, like, you know, are you weird, it's are you a freak.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Of all the quote PG-13 kills, the only good one was the babysitter. I think
that was the worst one.
It's the only one you
me and you must have watched different movies.
It's the only one you, like, actually see.
You get to see the dude get stabbed in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
That one was better than that CGI bullshit.
I'm saying that's probably the least PG-13 kill they had, though.
Well, it just looked like a bunch of spider webs slapped all over her body because it, like, the CGI was so bad. I don't know what it was trying to... Was she burning? Was she rotting?
I think she was rotting.
Who knows? It looks like shit. It's the CGI was so fucking bad, you can't even tell what was happening.
But we'll get into that magic fog later. And of course, Selma Blair and Maggie Grace. I do like them outside of this movie. those are my highlights. How about you?
Okay. Now, I will agree with you on Selma Blair. Selma Blair should be cherished. And I do like her a great deal. Maggie Grace can fucking go walk, take a long walk off a short fucking pier. I don't like anything. I don't like anything she's been in. She was terrible in Lost. She was the one character I was like, oh, this fucking bitch, shut up. Every time she was on screen, she was horrible. Like, she couldn't do anything for herself. And it was like one of those, she didn't even, like, learn over time. She just sucked. The whole time she was on that show, she was terrible. Like, all she did was, like, latch on to other people to do shit for her. She never learned anything.
Yeah, especially to that, her boyfriend.
Yeah, right? Again, I've never liked her as an actress. I think she sucks. Everything that she's been in has been terrible. And this movie just kind of solidified that for me, is that I don't know what the fuck. She Mary Sued the fuck out of this movie. Like, she took every major storyline and she became the center of all of them.
Yep.
But yet they somehow still kept all the other storylines, even though they're completely pointless.
She entered the movie and it's her movie.
Right. It's like, it's so bizarre. Like, that was the fun thing, right? Is, like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis was just a hitchhiker, right?
That's it. That's her tie to
that
the
was
town.
It. And then, like, he, you know, met the dude, right? Picked her up. They, like, banged it out. They had their own little adventure and shit, and they ended up saving the son, and that was it. They never really met up with everybody else. I think at the very end, maybe. No. Did they? Yeah, I think they did in the church, but... Again, but they had their own little, like, adventure that was fun. But, like, they never crossed paths with everybody else. And in this one, it's like they completely destroyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that annoyed the shit out of me is, okay, they said multiple things about their relationship here that I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Is like, one, the guy said, well, you left 6 months ago without a letter, a note, or even a phone call. Right. So she just left. She's been gone for 6 months. They've had no communication. Yeah. And he was worried about cheating on her.
Yeah.
Like, she's gone. If she's not talking to you anymore, that means it's done, dude. Like, if you have no communication, it's over.
But she's like,
why do you feel bad for dating other women when you've literally had no, she just left without telling anybody anything and she hasn't communicated with anyone in the town for 6 months. And he's still worried about offending her. Like, what the hell kind of relationship were you guys in before she left? It sounds like the most toxic, abusive relationship there is. Like, she had him, like, whipped in line and then just left him there. Yeah. Sorry. I don't like her. I don't like her character. So I thought when she was walking across the board in the boathouse and then just like spontaneously flipped over and fell into the water was one of the funniest scenes of the film. It was just hilarious. I was laughing out loud at the screen because it was so stupid looking. And like all the underwater shots looked like they were filmed in a fish tank.
Yes.
Like there's nothing. You could tell there was like a matte painting behind the fish tank and they were, oh, it was so bad. And like, I guess she like got this revelation of like, she was the descendant of a ghost or she was the ghost, whatever the fuck at that point. But it was funny when she fell in the water. It was funny when they were driving down the road in the fog and they just like randomly hit a fucking boat.
I can't see anything. I should speed up.
I can't see. Boom. They all flipped out of this because nobody's wearing a fucking seatbelt and somehow a fucking boat is in the middle of the road. It was hilarious.
Like I said, he said he can't see, so he sped up.
Right. It was just a completely nonsensical scene, and I laughed very hard when they all fell out of the car and got injured. And I did like the kind of the background where they actually showed the boat massacre and what happened, because in the original they didn't really do that. They gave it to you in the journal exposition, but they never said what really happened. And I guess I appreciate that little background. I think so it was a little
added lore to you for right, you
too yeah. much, but yeah, that was it. Okay. Now I was angry. And this list is long. some of it I've already talked about, so I'm going to try to condense down some of this stuff, right? I thought it was, like, they couldn't even keep in the "Are you weird?" I was very angry. The hitchhiker changed being the girlfriend. Then, like, he, like, immediately, like, oh, like, I'll do whatever you want. Like, even though you've left me and didn't talk to me for 6 fucking months, you know, I'm your boyfriend right away. Like, fuck that. the music was fucking terrible. Like, poor Selma Blair was like, this is a great song. And they played, like, the most horseshit 2005 music I've ever heard. But not one good song in the whole film. That's hard to do.
What? You open up with Fall Out Boy. Come on.
Yeah. And then, like, again, like, she just shows up after 6 months. Like, dude, you know she was banging other dudes in New York. Like, if she's not talking to you, there's something going on. Like, that's... People just don't, you know, go no contact for like, whatever. And then are immediately jumping into a shower scene. It feels very out of place. I guess there was supposed to be a scene to like show them rebonding after being gone for 6 months. But like, I don't know. I didn't buy this whole like, oh, I was, you know, finding myself or whatever the fuck that was. It just really seemed like a toxic relationship. And she just brought her control back in.
What I think happened was they tried to course correct the fact that Jamie Lee Curtis just boned, you know, Tom just out of nowhere without knowing him. They're just like, we need a backstory for them to bone. It doesn't make sense. They are just bone.
So, Tom yeah. Atkins. I mean,
I know. Well, I
there's no
excuse. We all know that. We all know that. But I think it's like a studio course correction. Like, that didn't make any sense. So they have to know each other.
Well, yeah, PG-13, we can't have casual sex in this film. Correct. I don't. Whatever it is, it felt like an abusive relationship, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that she was introduced. I didn't like the way that he wasn't allowed to ask her questions or anything. Like, dude, this is a fucking toxic relationship. You need to get out.
Yes.
Again, the whole Spooner being like the goofy character, like, what was the point of him?
There's no point. To make a joke saying, my dad, we're from Chicago.
Yeah. That it was like point. it felt like, you know, the kid from Not Another Teen Movie, like, that is whack.
Yeah.
Like, it really felt like that was the only reason. It was like just a completely pointless character that had no reason being there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, yeah, the fog itself was killing people, which is fucking stupid. Like, the fog picked up the knife and threw it at mm-hmm. the dude's head. Like, the fog was like freezing people or rotting people or burning people, and I don't know what it was doing because it looked like CGI shit So who knows what the hell was actually happening, but it was doing something to people. Yeah, the Sony Vaio product placement ad was terrible. And the thing that I thought was fucking hilarious, dude, I was like, what? I had to pause it. And I like stood up like, what the fuck are you talking about? Was like when he's at the fucking weather station, right? And the power goes out and he's like, oh, batteries. I'm like, you fucking asshole. The internet doesn't run on batteries.
What?
Like, where the fuck is your internet coming from? The power's out, you fucking moron. Like, yeah, your laptop would remain on. That's correct. But your connection to the internet would not be on. Oh, my God. I was fucking pissed off. Like, what kind of stupid fucking is like somebody that doesn't understand computers, obviously.
The internet's just in one little box. It's in England.
Yeah. Right. But like, again, instead of all these characters having their fun little separate stories, it was like they gave them all to Mary Sue character. You know, she gets to, you know, have to find the journal. She gets to, you know, be the center of everything, which was just, it was just stupid and fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Again, I wrote down how bad that CGI old lady death was. It was that fucking bad. It was terrible. But also, okay, Selma left the lighthouse, right? In the original film, the lighthouse is connected to the house. It's like right next to it.
Yes.
So why was there a scene with her driving? Like, I don't understand why that scene was even there. I was very confused. I'm like, okay, she's going to go talk to the kid. Like, why is she driving? Where is she going?
To almost die.
I'm like, what is happening? I was very confused. Like, and then like the car like flipped off the road. And then she was like at the fucking city hall. Like, oh, okay. I guess that's what happened. Sure. I guess I can buy that. But like, yeah, it was completely pointless. Like, I don't understand why she had to leave the lighthouse, is like Adrienne Barbeau in the original never left the lighthouse.
Right.
She went on the roof, but that was it. And then at the end, I still don't know what happened. Like they're in the city hall. There are all the ghosts are attacking the city hall. And then the mayor runs away. And then all the ghosts start chasing the mayor again, who we already said is not blood related to anybody that was their enemy. And right. They ignored all the people who were the blood relatives who were like in the original. That's who they were killing. They were only killing the descendants of the original people that did it.
Yep.
And this one, it seemed like they were doing that. But again, in the first scene of the film, they kill two random women who had nothing to do with it. Right.
Yeah.
And they kind of say like, oh, well, the one guy was my cousin. So like, I guess you could say that he was related to them. Right. But like the two women that were there were unrelated, just, you know, casual victims of the fog, and it just killed a lot of other people. It didn't care who it was killing, but it was going to the city hall to fight those people because that's what it was there for, and then it just decided not to.
Yes.
And then decided to kill the mayor after like showing him a contract and lighting him on fire with it.
Here's the contract. Oh, I'm sorry, boom, you're dead.
Right, like they were chasing him because he was like the legal representative of the town and they wanted him to look at a contract.
Sure.
And then even that was just a joke thing that lit him on fire.
Sure. Let's go with that. I was
like, these guys don't know. Like, these guys need better planning for their pranks. I don't know what you guys are doing. And then again, she just like walked up and they just like kissed. And then she became a ghost and like literally became his earlier wife. Like, she had the leper face and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like, was she the ghost the whole time? Like, did his girlfriend never really come back from New York and it was just her the whole time? And that's why she was like on a mission to find all of this proof, to find out who the descendants were and who this stuff was. Like, I was trying to figure out what was really happening. And that was the best I came up with, is that she was not the actual girlfriend. She was the wife.
Mm.
But it didn't make sense that that's what she looked like before she left. That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe she only looked like that to us. Maybe she looked like the girlfriend to everybody else.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I honestly don't know. Okay. I'll stop. I'll stop now.
All right. For me, obviously, this is unnecessary. Like I said, we talked about a lot about the differences. I definitely said Elizabeth being multiple characters in one, stupid. PG-13 horror-ness was not good. So let's talk about The Fog a little bit. So The Fog is powerful enough to go through doors in the boathouse and stuff like that, and to get into the drain pipes of the house to reach up and solidify hands to kill the babysitter in whatever way. But the little kid puts up like 8 pieces of scotch tape, and all of a sudden doors are a problem for it, and it can't get through the cracks easily. And when they're held up at, you know, the town hall, oh man, they're ghosts. We've seen fog. It's everywhere. Hurry, block the doors with stuff. Why? It's fog. It's going to get in. You're fucked.
Right. It's like, again, it's like they sometimes follow the rules of the original and sometimes not.
Right.
Like, again, because they have this magic fog that's killing people by itself without the ghost's help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if that's what's really happening, then why can it not get underneath door frames?
Right.
I don't know. Again, it seems to be they're following different rules at different times.
Right. This movie is just such a generic ghost movie when it had the ghosts. It just stupid. You know, the stupid nods to, as we talk about, to appease the fanboys, right? So Tom Welling plays a character named Nick. What's his last name?
Castle.
And who's Nick Castle?
The Shape.
Yes. So they're trying to throw in cheeky references to other John Carpenter works, and it's stupid. I hate it. So, like they said, they purposely threw that out there just to do it. You know, the leper guy who eventually was becoming a leper, like, why was that old guy with his dog, like, becoming leper? Like, he's just, like, slowly over time? Are there lepers there now? I don't know the rules of these ghosts in the slightest. And let's talk about that fishing boat, right? That is, like, a working fishing boat. And they're just, hey, we're going to bring these girls here. It's going to smell like fish. And they think we're going to shoot, like, a Girls Gone Wild on that boat. That's not happening.
Yeah, I felt bad for those girls because it was just like, the director's just like, okay, dance like you're drunk and having fun, action. And yep. They're just like, they look like so uncomfortable. Like, I would be uncomfortable too. There's like two guys filming you on a fishing boat, like you're trapped in the middle of the ocean. Like,
that smells like fish.
Right. I would be like going, this is great, guys. Can I go home now? I would be that way too.
Yeah. And of course, last but not least, the ghost kiss. Stupid as fuck.
Again, the movie doesn't, whatever. It cannot be overstated how much I hate this fucking film. I hate this movie. Like, yeah. Burning, passionate hatred.
Well, okay, one last thing. You know, when the girlfriend comes back, she's talking to her mom. She's like, you've been gone for 6 months. This isn't a hotel. Like, did you, like, destroy her room and make it something else in that 6 months? I'm like, I understand she left, but, like, you wouldn't think that maybe your mom's happy to see you in the slightest.
Again, that's what I'm saying. Like, what kind of toxic fucking asshole was this woman where she left for 6 months with no contact and everyone was like either terrified to like defy her even though she's not there,
mm-hmm.
or just like happy that she was gone.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of person was she? Like, she must have been like a demon or something.
Well, I mean, clearly she was a ghost inside this girl.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, the ghost came back, and I think the ghost was being nicer than that woman was.
Yeah. So, God, I hate this movie. All right, so I will go first. For number of shot-for-shot scenes out of 10, I said there's a very, very small amount of good things for it, so I will give this a 1.5 out of 10. What about you?
Again, I fucking hate this movie. This might be my least favorite movie I have ever seen.
Wow.
I want to make sure this is the lowest ranked film that I have. So I'm going to go 0.0003. Fuck this movie.
All right. Well, last but not least for this, maybe we can kill ourselves and come back to life,
right,
and purge our memories from this.
Right. This movie is just not good, but it doesn't intentionally try to, you know, take away from the original. Like it really doesn't say that this is a remake. It could have been the same film.
Right? So we'll get
in
to
the
that.
Same. Well, and I got in the same universe is what I mean. Like it could have been a sequel to the original.
There's pieces of it that make it a remake and a sequel at the same time.
Right. Like there's Kiefer Sutherland is in this, right? And he plays like their teacher, their doctor teacher.
Yep.
And he's got a cane and everything and kind of has the same haircut that he had in the first film. And like he keeps asking them, is there something else you want to tell me? Is there something else going on? As if like he's suspecting that they're doing the things that he did
27 years prior.
Right. So it feels like this might have been like in the same universe. So like kind of sort of like the same events happened in the same universe, close enough to the original where one of the original characters was kind of sort of tangentially involved.
Well, spoiler alert, he plays that doctor and he plays his character from the original.
Yeah.
So it's both.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I think this is, it's in the same world.
Yes.
But anyway, but again, this movie is, again, it's just like Psycho. It's like they kind of tried to remake the original and just everything is worse.
Yeah, they just made it, they made it more technology based. Like they weren't just haphazardly stealing stuff. Like they somehow they had a fully functional MRI machine in the basement.
Well, did you listen to what they said when they were walking down there?
I must have blanked it from my mind.
They said that this is a hospital that was built 5 years ago. It's a fully functioning hospital, and it's only here in case of a like natural disaster. This is a backup hospital that has all the same technology and functionality as the original hospital, only it's only for emergencies.
Okay.
So the technology level is top technology level because it was only built 5 years ago. But it's not currently in use because there's no natural disaster, which again, if a hospital has extra fucking beds, they're going to fill them. I don't care if you tell a hospital, don't use them. They're going to fucking use them because sometimes they get overloaded.
Right.
So like, it doesn't make sense. Again, I'm not defending what they're saying, but what they did say is that's why it is there. Again, it's dumb because it's completely different from the original. The original was just like they stole a bunch of shit,
right?
And did it in like the basement of a church, you know. But this is like they're in a hospital with full hospital equipment,
right? I'd say the motivation is different, right? So, you know, it's not just trying to one up, you know, the time limit in the first one, right? Like I got to beat their time. This is a, hey, holy shit, you know, at this point in time, I can't think of her name.
Which
Shadow
one?
Cat. Shadow Cat.
Shadow Cat?
Juno. Ellen, well, at this point in time,
well,
Ellen Page.
Don't dead name poor Elliot Page.
But Elliot Page at this time was trying to prove an afterlife, and you know, it came back with like unlocked potential and memories from the past, and people were like, I want that. It wasn't a, you know, dick measuring contest to see who can stay under the longest. This was like to unlock the human brain potential, and you know, essentially rewire the human brain.
Right. Well, yeah, the first one was just like, you know, can we do it?
Right.
Right. That was the whole thing. And then like this one started out that way. But then, like, later on, the character decided that, oh, no, I really it didn't tell anybody else this or even say to the camera or anything. And then towards the end of the film, they're like, oh, no, I really did it to visit my sister who was dead. That was it.
Right. Yeah.
And again, we only got that tiny bit of exposition, like, what, 3/4 of the way through the movie?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, up until that point, they were going on the same assumption that they were just doing it to do it.
Yeah, but they realized there was, like, maybe potential, because there have been cases where people have come back from being dead and have unlocked memories. So there is some basis in ideas in this movie that
right.
I don't think was really there in 1990.
No, they didn't bring that up, though.
No.
They didn't, but again, they might have been doing that if, like, that might have been a reason, but they didn't say that in the film.
Yeah.
They didn't say any reason other than let's see if we can. Like, you know, I want to see what happens to the brain when you go, because, like, nobody has a brain scan hooked up when somebody's fucking dead, right?
Correct.
So, like, they want to go through that process while having a full brain scan of it happening. That was, like, the whole point.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, it's the same group of essentially assholes as well, right? They all have checkered pasts.
Right, yeah. It's medical students only, yeah. It's essentially the same, only the characters are shitty, like, versions of the original characters.
Except Diego Luna.
Oh, Diego Luna's great. Which I guess he would technically be taking the place of Oliver Platt.
Mm-hmm.
Because Oliver Platt was the only one who didn't go under in the original.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that you have Diego Luna take over for Oliver Platt, because he sure as hell didn't act like Oliver Platt. Like, they kind of mixed and matched. They took all the characters and all their, like, you know, their character traits, and they, like, blended them all up and then just, like, randomly assigned.
Yes. The discount Glenn Howerton. it was the Baldwin's. Billy Baldwin, right?
Yeah.
You know, except also bad.
Right.
Right. I would say that who was it that was the bully? Was it Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was whatever her name is, Iris West from The Flash.
Right.
I don't know what else she's in. What do you think Paige's character? Do you think Paige was as psycho as Kiefer, or do you say that Paige was more of
I think Paige was supposed to be more Julia Roberts,
right? And that would then leave the Vampire Diaries girl as Kiefer's character, essentially,
right? Again, it's
because she did kill someone,
right? But it's like you take the traumas that the characters had in the original, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you like I don't know, lower the stakes. Like, every single character had lower stakes of what they did or what they thought they did than the characters in this movie. Like, the characters in this movie, I was like, oh, fucking boo-hoo. Like, quit your fucking whining. Like, everybody has, like, again, the characters in the first one is like, that's fucked up, right?
Yes.
Like, that sucks. Like, you fucked up. You got to deal with your bullshit. This movie, it's like, fucking get over yourself, you whiny bitch. Like, stop fucking whining. Do something.
Yeah.
It's like everybody, like, no one really had anything that serious happen to them. You know, other than they were, like, kind of shitty.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Paige's character, you know, the sister was killed because of not paying attention to the road. Right? Pure accident.
Right, like, yeah, it was an accident. Yeah, it's like, should you not text? Sure, but, like, she looked for, like, a half a second. Anything right. could have distracted you for a half a second. It could have been a fucking squirrel on the side of the road. Could have been, you know, a sound that you heard behind
it
you.
Could have just been talking to your sister. Right,
it could have been anything. If you were, like, texting a sentence, yes, obviously that's the thing, which we saw the scene. She was not. She looked down for, like, a second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an accident. I'm sorry. That sucks. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't suck that happened to you, but, like, okay, you got to, like, accept it. Go to therapy. You know what I mean? Like, you got to work past it. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, just about everybody's there. Like, oh, the guy, you know, he gave his girlfriend money to get an abortion and then didn't go with her to the abortions, and he never talked to her again. okay. Like, I mean, at least he was responsible enough to give her money for it. I mean, it sucks that he wasn't there for her, but like, I guess that pretty much convinced her, like, yeah, I don't need to be around you anymore. Right. But like, right. You know, at least he kind of sort of tried to be responsible. She didn't contact him. It's not like he ignored her.
And he didn't know that he had a kid.
Yeah. It's not his fault. I mean, again, if he knew he had a kid or she was trying to contact him and he blew her off, yeah, that's a really shitty thing to do. Right. But, like, she never contacted him. She never said what happened. She just decided to do it on her own. That's not his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, does it suck that he never follow up? Sure. But, I mean, sometimes shit happens and people just don't follow up with each other, you know? It's just a situation you don't want to relive.
And the chick from Vampire Diaries, she accidentally killed a guy because she was on a long shift and didn't read the chart right.
But, like, again, you know, again, she was on a 36-hour shift. You know, she told the guy, you know, he got stung by a jellyfish. He was like, okay, what did you do? She's like, oh, I gave him these two drugs. He's like, yeah, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. And she's like, but I forgot to ask him if he was on any other medication. I'm like, really? What? I mean, it's bullshit that you changed the report, but like, if you would have just been honest, no one's going to blame you for that.
And what was her punishment? She was on probation.
Yeah, she was on probation. Like, really? You fucking forged? Yeah. Like, document, like morgue documents, like his family believed that he died of an accident when it was really malpractice, and you're just getting fucking probation.
She didn't even go contact the family,
right?
She told the dean of the school,
right? It's like, but everybody was like low fucking stakes, you know. And it was like, oh, the one girl, did she do shitty thing? Absolutely, yes, she did. So, you know, she hacked somebody's fucking account and then sent her nudes to the entire class. Yes, that is cyberbullying at its worst, and that's a shitty thing to do. So that does equate to the Kevin Bacon thing,
right?
But the other things are not the same. Like, none of these other traumas are real traumas.
Yeah,
in the sense of there's nothing that you can do about it, you know, because like in the original, Kevin Bacon was the only one that could do something about it.
Right. Yeah, because he was being haunted, and a couple of them are being haunted by people who are still alive.
Right. Well, like, you know, Billy Baldwin, I mean, like, his fiance found out.
Right.
And that sucks, but like, yeah, she found out, all of these women are now justified because you got fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, yeah, he didn't try to resolve his issue. It just happened, but it got resolved. Now, again, like, you know, Julia Roberts and Kiefer Sutherland, really, there was nothing that they could do. So the only real equation to that would be, you know, Paige and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, it's so bizarre because in the original, like, things escalated, right?
Yeah.
Like, Kiefer Sutherland, you know, at first was like, you know, just the kid would appear every now and again. And like the first time it happened, like the kid hit him once. You know, and then it was like, you know, he had like a little mark on his nose and we're like, what happened? Oh, nothing. It's fine. And then like he reappeared like a couple other times and beat the shit out of him. Right. So it was escalating. And this one, it's like there's no escalations. It's like spooky PG-13, like, ooh, somebody's spookily walking behind you. Ooh, there's like something happening. You know, like there's knocks on the door. Ooh, you're in a spooky, dirty classroom. Right.
And then one of you dies.
And then all of a sudden thrown off a building out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. I'm like, what the fuck was that? What? That's not escalation. That's just like, oh shit, we need to move this plot along. Murder. You know, like, what was that?
it was
so bizarre. It just came out of nowhere. And then and then the movie just kept going. I'm just like, what? What was that?
Hey. And don't forget, you can be freaked out by someone else knowing the same song as your dead friend.
Right. Like, oh, like, there's only so many songs you can play by yourself on a piano that are recognizable. You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
And it was just so bizarre. Like, the dreams and stuff were so low stakes and so poorly done. I was like, okay, like, I guess that's spooky, right? But, like, nobody was in danger. Except for the one ghost that like literally went from sitting at a table coloring, you know, like pictures to murder immediately.
Yep.
Like no in between. There was no escalation. It was like, I'm coloring a picture. Now I'm pushing you off a roof. What the fuck was that? It was, yeah, this movie is all over the place. And again, in every way, it is worse than the original. That's basically all there is to it. In every way, it's worse than the original. There's a stupid part to where, like, when they come back to life, all of a sudden now they're like superhuman and better than they were before. Like, they're super smart. They're super. They have like tons of energy. They're like better at everything. Super horny. It's bizarre. Where did that come from? Not once have I ever heard about somebody that like comes back from being dead for minutes and then is like energized with life. Like, that's not a thing.
No.
Like, that came out of nowhere, and it doesn't serve any purpose. Like, there's no reason for that to exist. It's just there. I was so weird. I think it's just an excuse as to why they were partying all the time.
I think
they wanted to show a lot of party and sex scenes, and that was the only way that they could do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, because it doesn't make sense for a bunch of people that just died to like be partying and boning, other than, oh, they have to be energized.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't like in the original, there was like, there was people drinking and stuff, but like the people that died that day were like not into it.
They had to be watched right by other people.
Right.
Because they go, they're fucked up.
Right. It's not like a boom, we're fine. You know, and it was like literally they had two in one night. And they rushed that one girl's thing in less than 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was nothing. It's like in the original one, it was like it was a fucking struggle. Like there was a lot of work to bring them back. And it was like this one, I really didn't feel that.
Right.
Like it, I don't know. It just felt in every way it feels weaker than the original. It's so odd. Sorry, I'll stop rambling.
Oh, no.
Is there anything else you want to bring up about the differences?
No, let's get into our highlights and low points then.
All right.
I'll go first for the highlights. It's, you know, for a remake, it's not the worst remake / potential sequel of this lot. I would say it's the better of all three of these.
Yeah, it's not saying much.
I do like to make it more tech, that they're actually recording, you know, the MRI scans, right? CT scans, that if they did find something, they kind of have a proof to go with. Now, did they take anything with that data? Like, oh, this part of your brain's lit up, it's not supposed to do that. Cool. That'd be like a medical breakthrough, and then nothing. It's interesting that they killed Courtney. Wasn't expecting that the first time I saw it. For Paige just to go, boom, dead.
Yeah, like literally, like they showed her body on the ground. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sure she'll be fine. You know, like I was like, I did not expect it to actually like go through.
Yeah. And I, you know, this kind of leads with the first one is, you know, are they paying for their sins of their past? Is this hell? Do they prove afterlife exists because hell is coming for them? I still like that concept from the first one. I still think it's here for the most part for this one as well.
I don't think it is.
You don't think it is?
No.
Okay. Those are my highlights though.
All right. How about you? Okay, the highlight was the very first scene, and they do show it multiple times in the film. She looks down at her phone and then looks back up, sees a bulldozer, and then seemingly with telekinetic powers throws her car off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it doesn't hit the bulldozer. It, like, it hits the sidewall, but the car is already midair when it hits the sidewall. So somehow the car jumped off the road. And I was just laughing. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Because it looks like she turns the wheel and the car just like, again, teleports up into the air, just like flings itself off the bridge. It's bizarre. I don't understand what was supposed to be happening there, but that's not how physics works.
What?
I did appreciate that Kiefer came back. That was interesting to see. I didn't, cause again, I've never seen it and I didn't look into it. I had no idea that he was in it until I saw him. I was like, oh, well, at least they'd like respect, you know, that he was there. Right. That was interesting. And I do like Diego Luna. I do. I don't think anybody else did decent in this movie. I mean,
God, no,
everybody else was just bad in this movie. There's other people that are sometimes okay in other things, but not in this. I think Diego Luna was the only one that like took his role seriously. Like him and Kiefer, I think, were the only ones that did. And again, there was no magic hot and cold blanket in this one. In the original one, there's a blanket that spontaneously changes from a hot blanket to a cold blanket by they change the neon lights in it from red to blue.
Hell yeah.
But it was the same blanket. It's a, something that does not exist and still does not exist. And this one, they managed to use two different blankets, a hot blanket and a cold blanket. I was like, see, it's not that hard.
What? Come on.
And again, like, they actually killed a character. I did not expect that to happen. And I was kind of shocked. I was expecting her to come back like it was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I'm like, oh, they're really going with this. Okay. Yeah, and I guess, the other thing that pissed me off is, like, I guess they don't get in trouble for, like, taking her phone and, like, trying to hide their involvement.
Nope.
Like, again, these people, they all feel like they're, like, you know, these fucking trust fund kids that get away with everything, and this film just feels like they got away with it again. Like, there's no repercussions for their actions in any way.
Easily.
Other than, obviously, one character fucking died, but, like, all the rest of them, I don't think they learned anything.
Agreed, yeah, for sure. You want to go into your low points?
Yes. Now, low points is, like, obviously, it's too clean, it's too clinical, right? The original one was very big on atmosphere, right? And it was, like, you know, the church basement, you know, it was, like, very kind of spooky lighting. And
Seven layers of hell, yeah.
Yeah, backgrounds and, like, cool stained glass and, like, things were covered in, like, you know, scaffolding and tarps because, you know, it was, like, under construction. It was a very cool atmospheric place to set it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it was just like, yeah, it's just like a super brightly lit hospital room. There's no atmosphere at all. It, like, literally went out the window. They completely removed Halloween.
Yep.
I was like, okay, that was, like, kind of a major thing. Like, literally, Billy Baldwin shows up dressed up in costume, like, one of the nights. Like, it was a big thing. It was, like, a lot of the people, like, running around in the streets and their outfits and stuff. You know, that was, like, a big thematic kind of atmospheric thing in the original. Completely gone.
Well, because they weren't in Chicago.
It doesn't matter. They have Halloween everywhere. But, it, you know, again, like, when they died and then came back, like, all of a sudden now they're, like, super smart. They have, like, super energy. Like, they all, like, act like they're on fucking ecstasy all the time. Like, not they all want to bone each other.
Yeah.
What?
Not suicidal like they were right in the first one.
Yeah, like, they're all, like, ready to bone. They're all ready to party all night long, drink, and, like, fucking knock down walls in apartments, like, for some reason. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening. But yeah, just partying, constant sex. Like, I think it was just an excuse because they wanted to film sex scenes and party scenes. And I guess. But again, like, all of the, you know, dream/traumas just feel like they're lower stakes in this. Like, again, none of them are serious enough. Again, the one random character killing is completely out of place.
Oh,
like, no one else suffers anything near that. No one else suffers any kind of physical stuff except for the one dude gets stabbed in the hand.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. That was the, no one else suffered any kind of physical ailments at all. It was just kind of spook scare, right? Nothing major. But yeah, the stakes just feel so much lower and no one feels like they redeem themselves. They all just feel like they're the same trust fund assholes at the very
end. Oh, they are.
Yeah, I mean, the ghost dream sequences are just lame. They're just not good. Like, you know, there's a lot of CGI bullshit in there, and none of it is, like, good or memorable. It's all just, like, the generic bullshit you expect to see. Like, nothing new or original here at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationships really feel forced. Like, the characters really don't seem like they have any chemistry. You know, like, they're supposed to be, like, best buds. And especially even when they're, like, you know, boning and stuff, they really don't feel like they're, like, together at all. Like, what, Sophie and Jamie were boning when her mom was knocking on the door? That was, like, one of the most awkward scenes I've ever seen. It was so badly done. Oh, but just not good. It just does not feel good. It just feels like a generic shit version of the universe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Is all you got?
Yes.
All right. I think this movie, as we discussed and a lot of people discuss, is if this was a sequel, if this was the same world, it would have been better.
I don't think it would have been better. I think it would have just been more respectful.
Well, I think if Kiefer was the same guy, he could have told them this shit, right? There is a better chance of a legacy sequel than this. So I felt like they wasted Kiefer as potentially the character. To say, hey, oh, I read up about our doctor's past, and he wrote a paper on this, and he just, is some generic bullshit somewhere in the archives at a school, and we're just trying to replicate it now. We have better technology. That would have been a better story than what they had.
Yeah, correct.
So I think that's why it's a waste of potential of it. Surprise ball grab. No one wants that.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. The way he was aggressive about it, and creepy as fuck about it, yeah.
He's like, your testicular test, no. Yep. And like, no. If somebody says no, you don't do it.
Right.
That's sexual assault.
Yes. Yes, it is. You can tell these are people in California because it's hailing outside, and they go out into it.
Yeah, they're like somehow making snowballs. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in hail before. It is not pleasant. It hurts, and like, it doesn't stick together in a ball.
I'd say where they're from in California, they've never seen snow and think that's what snow is supposed to be, and that hail doesn't hurt as like hell. And it does.
Yeah, it does. If you're out in it, it's painful. It's not nice.
Yeah, and there's like, woo! And like, let's face it, hail is dangerous to drive, and they're just out in the cars while it's hailing.
Right.
Like, god damn, you guys are dumb. The acting in this is awful.
Yes.
Awful.
Yes, it is.
Now, the whatever chick from Vampire Diaries, she's not good acting-wise in anything she does, let alone this movie.
Was she the long-haired one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's awful.
Yes.
I think Kristen Stewart's a better actress than she is.
Who?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart's actually a good actress. The problem is that she's known for Twilight, which is terrible.
Right, but I'm saying that her stuff's better than this other girl's stuff.
Well, her in Twilight is better. There you go. Yeah. That's a good insult.
Yeah. just overall. Like, Diego, drove it home, but discount Glenn Howerton was awful. You know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. He looks like discount Glenn Howerton. This pissed me off in the first one, and I understand they didn't know what they were doing, but in this one as well, like, I'm gonna go under for 1 minute, and then she goes under, Paige goes under, and like, okay, everything's set in place, now I'll stop timing 1 minute. Like, it's already been like 20 seconds. And like, all right, now we're gonna wait the full 60 seconds then start again, and then they're going, I'm gonna go under for 2 minutes, and they don't start trying to revive until that time frame is met. And it's always going to be longer. And that was the problem with the first one. Like, well, technically it was like 8 minutes. Well, no. If it's going to take 30 seconds to revive someone, you start at 30 seconds before the time frame to revive them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first one kept that, though. When they were factoring in the time that it took, they did factor in that time. But the thing is, if you say, I want to be under for 5 minutes, and you start bringing them back in 4 minutes, and you bring them back before 5 minutes and up, they might feel like they missed out.
Yeah.
That's why they wait until the five.
But this group of people didn't even bother counting at the beginning of it either.
Yeah. But it's like, if you pay for 10 minutes of swim time, and at 9 minutes, some guy's like, all right, time to get out. It's going to take you a minute to get out of the pool. So come on. Like, no, you feel like you didn't get your full 10 minutes.
Yeah. But I don't think I don't think they really care about the time frame, though.
After in this one, no.
That after the second one. Yeah, after the second one, they just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, in this one, they had the one comment in there, I'm competitive, I want to be down longer, but that was it. Like, the first one, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, the betting, first one was, and, like, yeah, they were, like, betting times, and, like, the one who would go longer was the one who would go next.
Right. And that made sense. This time frame makes zero sense, so.
Correct.
That's why I didn't like it. All right, so that's all I got. So shot for shot scenes out of 10. So this one movie isn't necessarily bad as the other ones. It's not as good as the original Flatliners. There's some decent parts to it, but overall it's just, as you point out, the cheaper, lesser Timu version of Flatliners. I will go 2.5 shot for shot scenes. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best out of these three, but that's not saying anything at all. So, I mean, just because of how kind of a shitty, you know, like fucking grab this is, like, it's just poorly done. So I'll give it 1.25.
All right. Anything else before we end the episode?
Nope.
All right, so we just witnessed what can go wrong when films get remade. But what happens on the other side of that coin? Next week, we'll watch some remade films that are arguably done well. They may not outshine the originals that they spawned from, but they can stand on their own. We'll be discussing Suspiria, The Last House on the Left, and The Crazies. I'm excited because I love... not necessarily love. I love the 2010 remake of Crazies. I'm okay with Last House on the Left remake. I have not watched the Suspiria remake.
It's good. Dakota Johnson's in it.
Ah, yes. And that's why you watched it, because you're going through her movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like, yeah, she was one of the, well, it was just like Kristen Stewart. She was one of those actresses that, you know, the first thing I heard of her being in was like this shit movie that I never wanted. It's like, so I just judged her based on that. Mm-hmm. And then I saw her in something else. I want to say it was like Night at the El Royale.
Yeah.
Or one of her other movies. And I was like, wow, she was really good. And I was like, I wonder if she is. And I like kind of looked it up, and like people said, yeah, she's great. She's just terrible in 50 Shades, which obviously, no, you know, just same reason why Kristen Stewart was terrible in Twilight. They're just terrible fucking movies. Terrible stories. You can't do them well. They did them as well as they could be done.
Right.
Just not saying much. So yeah, but I was watching all of her films, and I came to Suspiria, and it was actually good. I mean, I think it's good. You'll see.
I'm sure I'll like it. I've heard nothing but great things about it, so at least we'll have something good as opposed to this one, because remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And like I said, this episode is a good example of the really bad movies that we watch. And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.